Welcome to Sports Central. I'm Rick Drewer.
I'm Phil Fechner.
I recognise you. I hadn't seen you for a while, but geez, you're looking good. You've been on sabbatical.
At the gym. Three days a week now.
Swimming and everything.
Honestly. I'm just the absolute athlete
I've heard your new nickname is Thorpedo.
That's what they call me down there at the Aquatic Centre. I don't know if there's a whale called Thorpedo.
There must be a lot of blind people there with white sticks. Is that right? Anyway, we'd better get serious for a minute.
Yep.
Hey, listen, they tell me you went to the footy on the weekend.
Did I tell you that I go to the gym 3 days a week? No, I did, Rick.
Poor on fire again, were they?
No, very poor. We're lucky to get that close, Rick, honestly. Right. It should have been more. Again, we've got no forward structure. And you've probably seen the replay now, I don't know. But kicking high, and we've got little midgets up there, like Sammy Gray, Robbie Gray, all these little guys, obviously Rosie, Butters, they're all that smallish size. And we're bombing this ball in, and time after time.
I heard somewhere that the GWS defenders just marked the ball whenever they wanted to. Is
Phil
that right?
Davis, I reckon he threw him $20 after the game. Thanks for that. You know, him and I can't think of the other lad's name, number 19, he was very good too. Another big, tall guy. So, it was disappointing, but,
Well, the thing that I find so discouraging, and we've discussed Port Adelaide numerous times this year, but it's the same old story. They've got no ball skills.
No, absolutely. A couple of times it was Westhoff and Hamish Hartlett both by themselves on the boundary line, kicked the ball straight out of bounds on the full. No pressure on them at all, and they just, it's disappointing to watch, Rick. Their ball skill is absolutely just mini league standard, and that's about all.
Well, I think it was, from what I can gather, and that's why I wanted to hear it from you, because you were there and I wasn't. But I just read briefly Reece Humphrey's review of the game, and it seems to me that he summed up what we've talked about before, and I might just read one paragraph because it's it in a nutshell. Their main problem was that they could not find a way home, either turning the ball over, coming out of defence, or the switch kick in the middle, or by failing to hit a target inside 50.
Yep. Switch kick all year has not worked. The only time you switch kick is if you've got something set up.
Guaranteed.
We've got nothing set up to go. And they try this switch kick all the time.
Perhaps they could give Ken a run in the middle. He might. might be able to demonstrate how to switch it. So what do you think of Ken's future?
He's on borrowed time. I reckon he's got... Oh, there you go. I reckon he's got 12 months. This time next year, if he isn't in that top four, I think he'll be gone.
Geez, you're a very generous man giving him another 12 months.
I think they will because of the contract. He's on big dollars, and I don't think we can afford to pay him out.
Well, you're right, but I think he's got 2 years to run, hasn't he?
He probably has. I'm not 100% sure on that, Rick, but... at least we get another year out of him. We only pay him out for 1 year, I suppose. But yeah, I think he's on borrowed time. But I think Pikey's in a bit of trouble too.
Well, Pikey is. But maybe just before we get to Pikey, I hear you got a personal letter yesterday, an email.
Dear Phil.
Who was it?
Keith Thomas. I don't even know the man too well. Norwood. He was a Norwood boy.
Believe it or not, he sent one to me as well.
You got one as well.
I wonder if they were the same letter.
I bet it was.
What did he say to you?
Oh, look, I can't repeat it. It's confidential information to all members.
Right. Yep. And he said it wasn't Ken's fault, it was his fault.
Oh, well, was he coaching?
Well, I didn't realise that.
probably could have put him on a half-forward flank at one stage.
He wasn't a bad footballer,
yeah.
Now, the thing that worries me about that letter is, first of all, I think it indicates just the strife that Port are in, that rightly or wrongly he felt that he needed to send something to the members. But the worst bit of it, which I argue is not true, is that... And Hinckley's been saying it all along as well. Oh, we're a young developing team. Now, Phil, I'm not sure that they are such a young developing team.
You got Butters and Rosie and Dusma
and Garner, I suppose.
Yeah, and Garner. But you know, I mean, you've got a lot of experience in there. You go through a couple there, Rick.
You can't tell me these are young developing players. Boak,
no,
Ryder,
no.
Dixon,
no.
Broadbent,
no.
Robbie Gray,
no.
Ebert,
gone.
And Grandfather Westhoff,
gone.
Well, you know, how long are you going to pin your tail on it's a young developing side?
Yeah.
I would suggest that Port have done well in recruiting those young blokes.
Oh, absolutely.
Done. But every other side's got young blokes in there as well.
Exactly.
And
look at Walsh for Carlton. He's absolutely burning. Yeah. He burnt the Crows up on the weekend. Well, our guys aren't quite doing that. Rosie's coming in for a little bit. Butters, very ordinary the last month. Very ordinary. Dersma, irate. Good player. Didn't like the bow and arrow thing.
No, I didn't either.
Especially when we're down. Yeah. You don't ever do that sort of thing when we're down.
Now, what about Pikey? I reckon Pikey's in strife.
He's in strife when the board says that he's safe.
when any board says you're safe, you start to clean out the drawer, don't you?
You get your suitcase and empty it out. Take your laptop and run.
And they've got an ageing list as well, haven't they?
Yeah, and they are slow. They are dead set slow. Yeah. And, I mean, we cut them up a few weeks back, you know, 55 points, and we just outran them. They made them look silly.
Yeah.
It did. Yeah. And Carlton done that on the weekend.
Yes.
You know, Cripps absolutely made Sloane look second rate. Yeah. And those Crouch boys, they get a lot of possessions, but just that one pace, aren't they? You know? Yeah,
couldn't agree more. And you know, it makes a mockery of wanting to find excuses when you look at the rebuild that Brisbane have done.
Oh.
And Port have been rebuilding also, and the Crows.
Yep.
And it only goes to show if you've got a sensible selections as far as recruits go, and you've got a coaching team that's on the ball. I mean, Brisbane, what they've achieved in the last couple of years.
They handpicked their coach that time. That's right. And the AFL helped them because they were in strife.
Yeah.
And I remember 3 or 4 years ago, somebody said their list is better than the list that when they were winning all those premierships is officially better than that list. And here we are, and they're sitting second to top and going well.
Well, they're going very well.
Yeah.
And good. I mean, it only goes to show that you know your performance on the field starts with your board and everybody else.
Absolutely.
That then gets
they all gel together, isn't it? It's all about John. Look, the other disappointing part about Saturday night, 27,000 only there, Rick. Yeah. That's a big problem.
Get
the tarps back.
The tarps are out or not?
I tell you what, they keep putting on those performances and the supporters are sick of it. They are sick of it. Dead set, there was arguing between supporters again there Saturday night. And 27,000, that's not good enough.
Yep. And I reckon that's half the reason that Keith Thomas has sent the letter out.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, to be fair, in South Australia, both supporter bases for the Crows and Port, they're all pretty front runners, aren't they? I mean,
absolutely.
As soon as either side stops winning, they fall off very, very quickly.
Yep.
Did many of ours walk off? They wouldn't have walked off.
No, not really. No, and it was a nice night, but very low scoring and hard in and under footy. But yeah, nothing entertaining about it.
Well, I mean, not that we've got time to talk about it, but I cannot imagine Port beating Essendon in Melbourne.
No, not a hope in you know what. Yeah, probably where we're both going when we die. But anyhow,
an ice cube in hell.
No, I can't see it happening. See it happening.
Right. So,
what about the Barossa footy, Rick?
Barossa footy's all over Red Rover.
There's three clear favourites, really, isn't it? I mean, and probably you can knuckle that down to two, I reckon.
Well, really, it would be divine intervention for the grand final not to be between Tanunda and Angaston. Newry, maybe all, you know, okay for third. The rest don't count, really.
Had a bit of a scoop given to me during the week. Ryswick, Westhoff, Hand and Somerton are the top four to win the medal this year in the Barossa Light and Gawler.
So do I get on to send a bet? I mean, you've got connections in
there. It'll be one of those four. One of those four will win it. There you go, Rick. You've heard it first here.
Well, for a man who's got 600 games and connections like you've got, I could go for the quadrilla, couldn't I?
And Ryswick and Somerton are the two standouts. So there you go.
Well, there you go.
Perhaps I can borrow $20 off you, Rick, and put it on.
Rightio. So what's next, Phil?
Okay, well, we're looking at the quickly have a quick look at the premiership table, should we?
All right.
Okay. Is that what you want to do?
No.
Oh, where are we going to, Rick?
I thought we were going to England, but
righto, we're off to England. Okay, what about the cricket?
Well, it's starting now, Phil. I know you. I must introduce you to the game one day, but
cricket.
Would you believe
bat and ball?
You're right on the money. Would you believe the test starts Thursday? I'll be glued.
Really?
Yep, I'll be glued.
Glued to what?
To the television.
Really?
Set. It'll be a ripper.
I've just painted the house last week, so I'm going to watch that dry.
That's a very unfair call.
Yeah, I can't watch a full day of that.
No,
but
well,
anyway.
What's been really interesting, I think, is the selection of the squad after we played the internal trial match, or call it what you like. And really, it must have been played on a pretty dicey track because... the only bloke who made any runs at all was Cameron Bancroft, Mr. Sandpaper.
Oh, yeah.
He's a good player. I really rate him. He made 98, and I think that was more than the rest of them all put together. But it's going to be very interesting to see the 11 that they actually pick for Thursday. Personally, I've sat down and had a look. I reckon it's going to be the following. I know you'll be interested in this. Davey Warner and Marcus Harris, I reckon, will open. Now, the big controversy, I guess, is Khawaja, because he did a hamstring during the ODI series.
Yep.
He's got a history of hamstrings, and he's still yet to pass a fitness test. I'm going to make a call and say he's not going to pass it, and in that case, I reckon Cam Bancroft will bat at three.
He's made runs, though.
Oh,
hasn't he?
He's made heaps of runs.
Yep.
I reckon Steve Smith will bat at four. Now, whether Travis Head bats at five and Matt Wade bats at six or vice versa, but I reckon that's the two for those
either
slots.
Either.
Tim Payne, captain, wicketkeeper. And then and Nathan Lyon will be the offie and he'll bat at 11. And, you know, you could raffle the three bowling positions, but I think Pat Cummings, Mitchell Starc and Josh Hazlewood will be the side. But, gee whiz, you know, they're arguing that James Patterson is in absolutely ready to go. And I've got a feeling that they're going to rotate some of the fast bowlers during the series.
Different tests, yeah.
But while we're on it, I honestly believe that the unluckiest bloke of all to miss out on the squad, let alone getting a test gig, is in fact our own South Australian Alex Carey. He, I would argue, is as good, if not better, wicketkeeper than Tim Payne now. And he certainly, his batting has been absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, he's made a lot of runs, didn't he?
I think the problem is that Cricket Australia was put in between a rock and a hard place after the Sandpaper deal, in that they had to find a new captain and vice captain. And now what I'm about to say is totally with all due respect to Travis Head, I think Tim Payne was the logical and correct choice as captain. And I've got a feeling that Travis probably got the vice captaincy because he was captain of South Australia.
He's done such a fine job with South Australia.
Well, yeah. I'm not sure it's all his fault, but anyway, probably a bit the same problem that Port Adelaide and the Crows have got. But what I think is that until at least the Test series is over, and Tim Payne, it seems to me, is the sort of fellow who might see the light shining and decide that it's time to call it quits to give Cricket Australia a chance to select a new captain. Which could be back to Steve Smith, who knows. But what I do think is that obviously while Tim Payne's captain and wicketkeeper, Alex Carey, no matter how many runs he makes or how well he wicketkeeps, can't get a gig.
We won't get in just on his batting, will he? He'll keep and bat.
Well, you know, I mean, you can argue that Matthew Wade, who's no longer keeping, is possibly going to get back into the test side because of his batting. And so maybe you could argue that Carey in the long run might do the same. But I think the bloke who's really under pressure and who's going to have to make runs is Travi. I would argue that... he's there because he made runs, lots of runs against Sri Lanka. And with all due respect to Sri Lanka, they're not England and they're not India.
Yeah.
And I think when Khawaja's fit and Cam Bancroft is in such good form, there's going to be a lot of pressure on wherever they choose, if they choose to pick Bancroft or Khawaja. There's not room for everyone.
No, exactly.
I reckon Travi needs to make some runs very early in the series to guarantee.
And he wasn't good in the warm-up game.
Well, he made Norton one, but then again, as I said, Bancroft's the only one who did make any runs. So it must have been a pretty dicey track, I think.
Yep.
What
about the? I'd like you to read that little paragraph
while we're on
out there.
I mean, I'm a bit of a cricket tragic, but I came across this the other day, and I reckon this is just beautiful. This sums up the best game in the world,
yep.
Phil. I hope
yep.
you'll understand
okay,
this.
Okay, right.
I've taught you how to spell cricket. Now, you listen to this. For a long time, we dreamt of a real leather ball. And at last, my brother had one for his birthday. The feel of the leather, the stitching round it, the faint gold letters stamped upon it, the touch of the seam, the smell of it, all affected me so deeply that I still have that ache of beauty when I hold a cricket ball.
Well, bless you, Chris Harms, hey? And is he still making those balls?
Well, I think they're coming out very soon.
Okay,
very,
beautiful.
Very,
we'll
very
look forward
soon.
To that.
Very soon.
What about a joke, Rick? Now, have we got a joke?
Well, we have.
Thank goodness for that.
Did you hear about the bloke? He's gone into the doctor's office and he sits down and the doc says, "What can I do for you?" He said, "Listen, doc, I've got a problem, a real problem. I can't bat, I can't bowl, and I can't field. What can I do?" Doctor looked at him and said, "Well, you're a bit over-anxious. In fact, I'd say that you're very much overreacting to the whole situation. Just take a few days off." He said, "I can't. I'm playing test cricket for England at Edgbaston tomorrow."
Well, hopefully that doesn't come back and bite us on the you-know-what.
Well, that's very true. That's...
It's easy to say, but we've got to put the runs on the board, don't we, Rick?
Well, we do. But I think that's about it.
That's our first one back.
It is.
So,
Well, until next week, this is Rick.
This is Phil.
See you next time.